What can we take from this performance?
Keep up to date with the latest WSL action and the biggest interviews.
How much she enjoyed that goal, a little bit too much in terms of, I wasn't a big fan of the Ronaldo celebration.
Subscribe to the Koi Gig podcast stream on the OTB Sports app now.
And Lewis,
and he's got the slipstream too, Martin, and he is gaining, and he is gaining, and he is gaining on Max Verstappen. He's going to go for the move here. Lewis Hamilton trying to get into the lead of the race. They go wheel to wheel into the first corner. Verstappen has to bail out. Lewis Hamilton has to bail out. Verstappen ends that sequence with a bigger lead over Lewis Hamilton.
They've gone in side by side. He's gone through the down the inside line, and he's. Yeah, they touch.
Well, is that Brazil again? Where?
No, I think he was more ahead at that point.
That's crazy, man.
Oh! Oh, they've touched and they've collided. Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton. How much damage on Hamilton's Mercedes? What has happened there? Verstappen being told to give the place back to Lewis Hamilton. Slowed down on the straight. Hamilton ran into the back. Just what is going on here in Jeddah tonight?
Well, we'll try and figure that out. David Croft and Martin Brundle there on Sky last night from the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen, wheel to wheel and more on several occasions across the race. The net result, Hamilton prevailed, Verstappen second. In the Drivers' Championship, they are now joined at the hip. Level on points after 21 of 22 races. The season finale is in Abu Dhabi this coming weekend. To our guest, we did a great feature interview with him in the distant past, the early months of the pandemic. I think he was in Cape Town at the time. That interview is still very much on YouTube and podcast. Got a great reaction, so you can check it out if you want. On this occasion, well, the focus on more immediate concerns as the season reaches its crescendo. Eddie Jordan, good evening. Great to have you on again.
Yeah, great. Fantastic race yesterday for everybody, but I'm sure we're going to talk about the implications of it.
Yes, and there are many. I think the last time we were on, we got into conversations about your belief in God. It's not going to be as philosophical this time around.
I had no idea what was going on. But I think God may have to take a second place here. I can't even remember what we were talking about, but that just goes to show that the future rolls on very quickly, and we've seen how this championship has evolved. And to think, you know, I think it's 40, 50 years ago since the two main protagonists went into the very last race of the season, joined at exactly the same number of points. And it's unprecedented. I mean, it's fantastic for everybody because there's been an upsurge in the interest of motorsport. I'm not sure why, but I'm sure this fight between the two drivers is certainly one of those things. And I think Netflix and other things in the media like you guys and what we're doing here on the media, you know, people are crying out for more and more information.
Well, I think a perfect storm. I think Netflix drew a lot of people to the sport, and then it just so happens the sport delivers one of the great championships right on cue.
Well, you say that, and you have, you know, without question, Lewis, who got knighted earlier this year for a seventh-time winner of the World Championship, and rightly so, in my opinion. Max Verstappen, who is the young kid, I remember him as a baby in a pram when his father drove for me. And so I know both sides of this little fight very, very well. I'm trying to be totally unbiased if I can, because I want to see the best man win. And I think that there's going to be a titanic battle next weekend. Abu Dhabi doesn't realize what's in front of them, because there will be a clamour of people that get on planes going to see that race. And I hope they're ready for it.
We'll get into some of the specifics from last night. There are too many specifics, I think, for us to cover all of them. But if I was to put a big picture takeaway, which lots of seasoned observers have said, it's that Verstappen is crossing a line. For instance, Martin Brundle last night on the commentary, Verstappen's got to think about his driving standards. He crossed a line, reckless, too aggressive. Others have said as much. Where are you on Verstappen and his behaviour on the track, Eddie?
I did hear Martin say that. Look, we have to understand that this is, and I'm trying to be unbiased, but remember, you were listening to a British broadcast. And I'm not saying that they would be in any way, shape or form biased towards Lewis. But Martin is a seasoned campaigner. He is the biggest, the longest serving commentator in the business. And so he's seen it all. He drove for me for several years, way back in 1982 even. So he's not going to tell lies, and he's going to say how it is. However, there's a couple of things. When he says Verstappen brake tested them, I don't understand two things in this instance. I don't understand why Max had to move. When you allow somebody to pass you, you normally keep in the same trajectory. I mean, you don't move off the line, and he did move off the line. Having said that, what on earth, knowing what he knows at this stage of the season, what Lewis Hamilton knows about Max Verstappen, why did he have to go so close to him, and why did he have to follow him and if you like, get sucked into the situation? He was so lucky not to break the front wing off. As it was, he just cut one at the side wings, and obviously it was going to affect his understeering. It was going to create more understeering. But it didn't actually, because he went on to drive magnificently. Having said that, he put himself in a vulnerable position by, for whatever known reason, I don't know. Why did he need to go right up to the back of Verstappen? What was he trying to prove?
It seems he claims he didn't know what was going on, that Verstappen had been told to let him pass. This is lap 37. He was told to let him pass, and it seems the information wasn't given to Hamilton quickly enough. So he said, I didn't get the information. It was very confusing. I wasn't sure if it was some crazy tactic on Max's behalf. The message started to come through as he hit the brake. And he also added, well, it doesn't matter for Verstappen if we both don't finish. I need to finish. But the stewards concluded Verstappen had braked suddenly and significantly. And so they gave him another 10-second penalty. In fairness to him, Verstappen seemed to be doing what he was told to do. It's just that Hamilton didn't seem to know what was happening.
Look, we could be here till this time next week discussing the merits and otherwise to this particular case. The judges and the stewards have all of the camera work, and let's be honest about it, they have the printout of exactly what happens to the throttle movement and all of the things coming out, because it's all on sensors. There's no hiding place in Formula One anymore. So if you do something silly, then you're going to be nailed for it. So the judges and the stewards have seen that Max put his foot on the brake. For me, that's unnecessary. When you're letting somebody pass, you just slow down. You don't need to put your foot on the brake. But then why did Lewis put himself in such a vulnerable position to allow Max to do such a thing? Because had the front wing gone off and broken, I think Max would be probably almost crowned champion at the moment, because by the time he'd have got back, by the time he put a new front wing on the thing, it would have been an unbelievable drive for him to score points. So some feature of luck for Lewis here. I think Lewis has learned a lesson, and that is Max Verstappen is not someone that is to be treated lightly in terms of trying to pass him. And we've seen that in other areas in terms of his starting and his starts. I mean, those starts were simply phenomenal. I've never seen starts like that. So please remember that Max has in his mind, he believes that his car is not quite as good as a Mercedes, so he has to make up for it in other ways. Aerodynamically, it's probably slightly better than the Mercedes, but certainly under power. And maybe Red Bull have to look at the situation, maybe trading some of the benefit that they have in the aero department next weekend and giving themselves more straight line speed, because they certainly will need it. Abu Dhabi is a circuit where, you know, we know how good Lewis has been there before, but we know how Max is. So it'll be a huge event. My belief is that Adrian Newey will sacrifice some of the brilliant aerodynamics that he has on the car and probably let the car be quicker, certainly in the qualifying, and then take a view. Well, he has to sort out the race and the qualifying together, but he will take a view as to what it is. But I think Red Bull have to go into this with a different thought process, because if they go in as a straight fight as they would have probably thought, I think Mercedes will beat them. That's my guess.
Another quote from Hamilton, who, again, is not a disinterested party here. I tried to keep my cool out there. I've raced a lot of drivers through my life. I've come across a lot of characters. There are a few who are over the limit. They don't think the rules apply. He's over the limit for sure. I've avoided so many collisions with that guy, and I'm always the one who has to do that. Now, Verstappen is saying he wants proper racing, and Formula One is now increasingly just about penalties. If we step back from the specifics of last night, is Verstappen reckless generally, or is there a degree of, you know, like racing? I mean, it's about being aggressive as well. It's about doing what you can to win. So I'm curious, more generally, as opposed to just last night, is some of the criticism of Verstappen harsh?
You know, if you had 10 ex-team bosses, ex-team race drivers, world champions, call it what, they'd all have different views on this.
Right.
Do I think he's over the line? He's certainly on the borderline, that's for sure. But he has a sense of aggression that is as intimidating. Oh, I think it probably is. And providing it's not dangerous and within the rules, good luck to him, because if he's able to put a certain aura about himself in a certain given situation, that if it's a 50-50 tussle, he is never, ever going to back out of that. And so you have to give him some credit for being ultra brave. I mean, some of the moves he takes on, it's unbelievable. I've never seen it like some of these, particularly those start lines, you know, coming from third in the grid to diving up the inside and trying to take out the two drivers alongside him. I mean, I don't mean take them out. He doesn't hit them. He has a very brilliant ability to know the width of his car and what he can get through. Mm. Now, you could say that they run off the track a bit and he pushes other drivers. But one thing for sure, Lewis Hamilton said what he said, you have to say he has him a bit rattled. So for sure, Lewis made phenomenal starts yesterday. And what he will be trying to do in his bed tonight, he'll be thinking about, how am I going to get pole position? Because I need to drive away from this guy. I need to be as far away as possible. And if I can get Bottas up between him and me, that's the perfect scenario. But is it going to be as easy as that? I don't think so. We're going to see lots of twists and turns between Friday practice and qualifying, and then the qualifying on the Saturday, and the race, of course, on the Sunday. I don't think there'll ever be as many people watching worldwide, because it's just caught everyone by the attention of it. And of course, you have the young cub in Max, and you have the old star with Lewis looking for his eighth title. You couldn't script this. This is a story that's sort of, it hasn't been invented. It's happening in front of our eyes. It's real. This is history. This is something that is remarkable. And sure, I spent my life in motor racing, so probably I'm probably as excited about it as anyone. And I am, because I'm intrigued by it. Now, if I had a driver like Lewis Hamilton, what would I be saying to him? I say, Lewis, for me, you have displayed, certainly from Brazil and other races since then, that you are the quickest driver in the world. You've got 7 titles. You do not need to be apprehensive. You do not need to be in any form intimidated or bullied, or because that's the way he's beginning to sound like. And I'd be calm him down and make him focus on what is required to do, and he has to go and get pole position. Ironically, yesterday, he would not have had pole position had Max finished the lap, but then it goes to prove that Max is so on the line of just, you know, he was glancing each and every wall. The guy is phenomenal. Make sure that everybody realizes how good Max is.
Yes.
And he also is in the belief that he is in a car that traditionally from the beginning of the year has been inferior to this Mercedes, which is the all-conquering Mercedes car over the last number of years. And the reason, best way to do that is that Bottas is a bit of a star, but Bottas is nowhere close to Max Verstappen. So that would give you an indication from me as to what Max is doing to try to compete with Lewis. So he believes the only way he's going to do it is if he absolutely draws the line. And let's assume that the two crashed into each other. And it should be well known at this stage. But if the two crash into each other and they fail to finish, the world champion will be Max Verstappen by virtue of the number of Grand Prix he's won this year. I think this would be number 9. And as a result, you know, that will not go unnoticed to Lewis. He'd be thinking, God, I've got to get around. Even if it means letting him away with it, he's going to have to think about that, because in a 50-50 battle, he knows that Max will never bail out, and he has to take his chances and try and pass him either by undercutting him at the pit stop and the tyres or whatever, or try and take his chances on the DRS, pass him on the straight when he's following Max. So there's a number of different scenarios there, but I wouldn't want to come down to that. I would like, if I was Lewis's boss, I'd be saying, Lewis, just get pole, and that puts a lot of things on the plate. Make a good start and get away. You're controlling the situation then, and as far as Max is concerned, he has to find another gear. And I don't think that ultimately, even with the tire choices that you chose yesterday, I mean, was it reckless? No, they probably hoped that there was going to be another stoppage and that was going to help them. But, you know, Red Bull were on the back foot, I think, from early on. And we're very lucky that that race with the Schumacher accident got stopped because it allowed them to put new tires on the car. Putting the mediums on, a long way to go on that race track with a one stop to have those medium tires. I would have gone for the hard myself. Of course, it's easy to be wise after the event. But you saw the way that Lewis was able to, once the track rubbered in and the tires got better, the fuel load came down, you could see how Lewis was more akin to the circuit. He was enjoying himself and he was slinging the car around all over the place. So who knows what's going to happen?
Well, I mean, you've painted the whole picture so brilliantly there, and the dynamic is fascinating. Damon Hill was talking along similar lines to you when he was saying that Lewis now has to be very cautious. He said he's not intimidated, but he's very wary of Max. And it was so striking that last night, in the immediate moments after the race, Lewis Hamilton did say, it's okay for him if we don't finish. So Hamilton is acutely aware of this dynamic. And, you know, any of us with a passing interest in Formula One immediately thought of Senna and Prost. Of Senna and Prost all those years ago and that dynamic. Now, do you think Max Verstappen...
Yes.
Do you think Max Verstappen... I mean, Max Verstappen is it's clear here, this guy's a killer and a winner. I mean, first turn, second turn, if that option is there, I presume, I mean, anyone talking to him would say, don't do this. Try and do this the right way or you will go down in infamy. This would not be a way to win your first world championship. But maybe he won't care about that.
How do I answer that one? I think, you know, it's not just the Senna Prost. There's a lot of other in Formula 3. I remember a Formula 3 championship way back in the 80s. That I was involved in, Bruno Giacomelli, and he won a championship, and other people. There's a number of different cases where drivers sat on the grid facing the other driver that he needed to knock out, and he drove straight into the side of him. These things will happen, but you won't get away with that, because then there would be horrific penalties and the world would be so much against Max Verstappen. At this stage, most of the young people want the young car. They want him to, you know, what crowds and the levels of support that he's brought to Formula One is simply phenomenal. You know, there's grandstands just coloured in that orange, whether you're from Holland or not from Holland. He has a huge fan base. Lewis is slightly different because, yes, the people in Britain like him and a lot of other people worldwide like him, and he has a big message to send. He's become quite political and outspoken in terms of all sorts of different subjects, not just motor racing. So there is a hot and cold tap there that needs to, some people love him and some people maybe not so much. So what do I think is going to happen? My view is that I do believe that Max comes from parents that I know, and I think they will be saying to him, Max, do the right thing. Mm. Drive as hard as you can to be legal, but make sure that if you don't win this next year, and you've come out of this as an absolute megastar for one of the greatest seasons of Formula One excitement, competition-wise, he needs to be seen as a sportsman. And there were some things yesterday that I thought were getting very close to that. Do I think he passed the line? It was on the edge,
yeah,
for sure. But I would not go so far as to say that he was unsporting. I think there was, on the brake, so-called brake test, I think it was a complete mismatch. He should not have moved the car. When you're letting somebody pass, you stay in the same line. He didn't.
Because he came across to the left a touch.
He moved ever so slightly. You could see the movement. And don't forget, the stewards would have been able to see that any movement on the steering wheel is a bit like a cricket bat. When a ball hits the bat and we don't see it or hear it, you see the flick up and that's it.
Yeah.
They see that. And they also would see the brake test. But what they should also see is the driver behind has to be aware. So you know what the rules of the road, it's the same thing. The driver behind should take enough caution to make sure he's able to make the pass without any problem. Lewis didn't do that. He drove right up against the back of him. What did he need to do that for? Did he want to do that to intimidate Max? Did he want to show him, ha, I've stopped you now, I've been allowed to pass you? Why did he do that? I don't, listen, only he can answer that question. But I do not hold maybe 70% of the blame to Max because he did move the car and he did break the test. Maybe 80%, 80-20. You must never, no driver should ever brake test another driver. That's a given right from the very beginning of my racing life, and I'm sure every racing driver that's ever sat in a competition car will have said, you must never brake test a driver because it happens so quickly. You've nowhere to go, and you're straight into the back of them, and that's it. But the problem about that is you rule out the chance that both cars could be knocked out. Now, you might rightly say that that would help Max's situation, and of course it would. However, if you are going to brake test somebody, you need to do it properly and not just knock off the edge of the wing. So I don't know where you go from there.
Okay. In a word, who would you like to win?
I've actually, and this sounds ridiculous, and I'm not saying this because I don't want to get off the fence. On one side of myself, I've seen Lewis grow up. I'm extremely friendly with his father, Anthony Hamilton, that whole family, are particularly nice. The problem for me is that I know both sets of families, and I both socialise with them in different ways. Both of them live in Monaco, as indeed do I, and so I see them all the time. And in fact, Lewis lives in the very same block as mine, but do I ever see him? Very seldom. There's no preference on the private side, and I want to see the best driver. I'll decide that how I see how Max behaves. Mm. If Max was to behave and to be sporting and to give everyone a chance to see how this unfolds, and if he was to win it and win it fairly in that set of circumstances, then I'd be so pleased for Max. On the other hand, if Max behaved just over the top, too hard or reckless, then for sure you'd have to go with Lewis. But you know, there's such a fan base for both of them. I think that's a question you could ask 1,000 people, and I think you get 1,000 different answers, although one or the other, you wouldn't get them all different, of course. But yeah, you know, it's not something, and this isn't something, nothing to do with nationality. But the great thing about motorsport, it's not like football or things like that. Football is more tribal. If you come from Liverpool, you're either Everton or you're Liverpool or whatever it is. And this is not a situation. I'd say Max is just as many fans in the UK or in Ireland as Lewis has. I'm not sure Lewis has as many fans in Holland as Max has. But you know, the gist of what I'm saying is globally, they're both huge new stars. Well, Lewis, not so new, but if he was to go out with 8 world champions, I don't think there's anyone that would begrudge him. And I think the turning point for most people was how he drove in Brazil, which was simply astonishing. I didn't think that was possible. The penalty he got to start at the very back of the grid, it was kind of confusing because he didn't get the penalty to start at the back of the race. He got the penalty to start at the back of the qualifying. It's not quite the same thing because he has 2 chances to move up the grid, which he did do in the qualifying. So I'd love to hear an answer from the stewards as to why that was the rule and regulations. Mm. However, leaving the race itself was, if anyone needs reminding of it, they should flick back to wherever they need to do and see the last 8-10 laps of the Brazilian Grand Prix and how he was able to come from where he came from to win that race. And I think a lot of people will be saying, certainly people who have either been close to sport, who've driven in the sport, maybe not even towards Formula One levels or hasn't won Grand Prix, everyone will have a view who's able to and has driven a competitive car, and they will say, wow, what an unbelievable move that Lewis did there, and it probably deserved to win a world title as a result of it. Then on the other hand, you have to say, look, Max hasn't had the same car. He's brought it to the same level after all of these number of races. He's brought it to a level where they are both equal. And this is phenomenal because, you know, when somebody is the underdog, and you have to assume that Max is the underdog here, and people want the underdog to win. So my guess is I think Max will start the race with the most people behind him. And that's not really an issue. What it does mean is that he has to win the race for himself, his family, his team, and everyone surrounding it. And that's what I want to see, a fair race. I want to see something that's tough, hard. And, I've heard what Lewis has said yesterday, but remember what he said last week and the week before. He said, I just so enjoy racing with this guy because he is so tough and he makes me extend myself to a level that I didn't know was there. So in a way, that's a big compliment.
Yeah.
And I did also notice after qualifying, when the two of them got out of the car, and you wouldn't expect it, just if you wanted to look back, and I just said, wow, that's something I did. Lewis was standing there just outside the weighing scales. Max came in, got weighed, and on his way out, they gave him the fist bumps. Now, he didn't need to do that. And I think deep down, my guess is that Max is an extremely well brought up boy. He knows the value of right and wrong. He has a particularly nice family. He has come up the hard way. By that, I mean, he's been racing since he's two, and his father being an ex-Grand Prix driver. His mother probably is even a greater driver than her husband. She's, you know, as a family, you couldn't meet a perfect scenario where the mother and father are deeply engrossed in a sport, and they will want their son to do the same. So he will want to do the best thing for himself and everybody else. And he won't care about Lewis. And he's such a cool character. If you see him being interviewed, he's certainly not fazed.
No, man, is he not fazed. Eddie Jordan, pleasure. Thanks so much for your time. It's really appreciated. Great to have you on Irish Radio again. Thanks, Eddie.
Always a pleasure. Thanks a lot.